What could you buy with $1 trillion? It's hard to get your head around just how much money that is, let alone how one person could accumulate that kind of wealth. I will be honest, I had to remind myself just how many zeros that is. It's 12, by the way. Anyway, the world's richest man, Elon Musk, had a record-breaking pay package approved by Tesla shareholders, which could make him the first person in history to become a trillionaire. So how do we get to a place where one person can accumulate that much wealth? And why is the gap widening between the world's richest and the rest of us? I might be able to ask Karl Rhodes, Professor of Business and Society at the University of Technology, Sydney, and the author of Stinking Rich, The Four Myths of the Good Billionaire. Karl, welcome to Life Matters.
Hey, great to be on the show, Tegan.
So I don't even know how to wrap my head around the size of $1 trillion. I'm imagining Scrooge McDuck diving into like a vault. Can you break down for me how much we're talking?
Yeah, I mean, it is an unfathomable amount. I mean, it's more than the, you know, annual GDP of Switzerland. You know, if you got this money and had it in $100 notes, you'd have 10 tons of money. And if you think of it kind of, you know, more differently in terms of economic inequality, which is what this really represents, if you look at the distribution of wealth in the world, you know, $1 trillion is more than the entire wealth of the bottom quarter. So more wealth than 2 billion people in the entire world. You know, it's enough money to cover the Australian federal education budget for schools for 50 years. Now, you could buy every single housing unit in Brisbane and you still have change from $1 trillion. I mean, it's hard to think of it as anything but a grotesque amount of money for one person to have.
So if, I mean, he's not a trillionaire yet, but let's say Elon Musk decided to divide it equally among every person in the world, what are we talking here?
Well, there are about 8.2 billion people in the world, so that's that would come out at about $12 per person. If you think of Australia, we've got 26 million people, and you converted it to Australian dollars, it would be about 60,000 per person. Bearing in mind, the minimum wage is 48,000, so it's a considerable amount of money, even if you were to think of distributing it. I don't think that's going to happen, by the way. It's a very hypothetical question you're asking.
So your book is all about the myths of the good billionaire. You might have to rewrite it to update it to talking about trillionaires as well. Yes. Some people say it shouldn't be possible for one person to have that much money. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it's, in a sense, it's not just about one person. It's about how the fact that this exists, and according to Oxfam, there's going to be 5 trillionaires in the next 10 years. So it's not even just him. It just represents a very much a kind of gross and worsening level of economic inequality around the world. I mean, even if you look at last year in 2024, billionaire wealth grew by $2 trillion, and that was a 15% increase. It went up to a total of $15 trillion, so a 15% increase in 1 year. Meanwhile, according to the World Bank, 44% of the world's population live under the poverty line. And so it's bad, even in wealthy countries like Australia. You know, poverty in 2001 was 12.4%, and that's now increased to 14.2%. 1 in 7 people living in poverty in Australia, which is a wealthy country. And it's particularly bad for young people, who it seems this generation are going to be financially worse off than their parents. I mean, young people are deciding not to have children because they can't afford it. That's the kind of the bigger issues that this extreme wealth of one person, you know, talks about a whole system of inequality that's growing across the world, including with us.
What is it about this moment in time and the way we've set up our economic system that it's possible for someone to have accumulated this much?
Well, it's really, you know, a part of a long period of development that's happened. I mean, this hasn't happened suddenly. And in many ways, this is down to changes set in place globally around government policies. You know, sometimes people call it neoliberalism and the kind of things that were set in place by Margaret Thatcher in the UK and Ronald Reagan in the US. So billionaires have taken advantage of a political system. You know, billionaires often will have you think that they're self-made men. I say men deliberately, most of them are men. And the real fact is that they're just a manifestation of a global policy mistake that was made years ago around the way globalization was managed, around corporate deregulation, you know, tax reforms that favor capital over labor, you know, financialization where asset growth is much bigger than salaries, deunionization. You know, but lack of control over market concentration. You know, we were told that wealth would trickle down, but the opposite's happened. You know, it's trickled up.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Carl Rhodes, a professor of business and society at UTS, about the fact that Elon Musk is poised to be the world's first trillionaire. Peter says, imagine the good you could do for wildlife and ecology with that money, or housing for people. Neoliberal capitalism is immoral and cruel considering there's so much need. Sonia says, I'd pay off my mortgage and set up my two kids for life. Then the rest of the money to go to public housing so that every Aussie has a home. So, Carl, if we've set up an economic system that has allowed this to happen, could we change it to make our economic system more just and equitable?
Of course you could. And if you think about this, you know, there are some countries that are more equitable than others, countries like Japan and Finland and Norway and Sweden. And the characteristics of those countries is that they have strong welfare provisions, they have strong public services around education, around retirement incomes, around health. They have progressive tax systems. They have, healthy levels of wealth and inheritance tax. So there's a range of things that can happen. And those countries also are very, very wealthy countries. GDP per capita is high. Economic growth is high as well. And so productivity is high. So these are examples. So, you know, very deliberate policy changes around services, welfare, and taxation can really make all the difference.
How does Australia fit into this picture? We don't have any trillionaires. No one does yet, but we have a fair few billionaires. Are there other things we could be doing to make Australia more just?
Yeah, well, these are the things that could be done around tax reform, for example. In particular, you could reform capital gains tax. You could phase out negative gearing. You could implement direct wealth taxes. You could reduce reliance on income tax, make that more progressive, so it reduces reliance on spending for more people. Tax welfare transfers through inheritance and gift taxes. You know, you could modify superannuation. I mean, that's kind of a debate that's going on now. You could cap tax-free earnings in retirement. There's many, many, many things that can be done. I mean, what we don't have is the political will to do them. And so this is a political problem. I mean, on the one hand, we can kind of point at Elon Musk or whoever, billionaires, and try and blame them. And that, you know, that kind of might be comforting in some ways, to feel that someone's to blame. Mm. But there are real and direct policy options that can be taken to reverse the trend.
I guess depending on who you are, you don't have to be a billionaire to be very comfortable, very well off. Are there things that we could be doing at an individual level to share the love a little bit?
At an individual level, I think the main thing that we can do is to exercise our discretion as citizens to make clear what it is that we want and to create the political pressure for things to be done. I mean, I don't think, you know, there's necessarily things that individuals can do. I mean, it's a systemic problem and the system needs to change. And that's only going to change, you know, in a democratic system if enough people want it to change. And that's, we haven't kind of got to that stage. I think there's probably not enough public awareness of the real problems that we have around inequality. So to continue to debate those and public forums, that's why I'm really happy to be on your program to be talking about this, is really what's important, and to engage it through the democratic process rather than, you know, have these decisions controlled by a small number of wealthy people looking after their own financial interests.
Well, Carl, I'm very happy to have had you on here talking about it too. Thanks so much for joining me.
Absolutely my pleasure, Tegan. Thanks.
Carl Rhodes is Professor of Business and Society at the University of Technology, Sydney, and he's the author of a book called Stinking Rich, The Four Myths of the Good Billionaire. Thank you for your texts. Greg says, if I had a lazy $1 trillion, I'd buy up huge areas of old growth forests and employ people to maintain it and look after visitors. Also, what about at a certain point, a number of shares in a company go to the government?
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.